Hello and welcome to the Cake Wolf Happy Hour, your horror podcast game show, where today we are covering a very special movie chosen by Mr. Duskbrain, who is joining me here today. This is his Christmas gift to myself, and it is a film by Burning Angel Entertainment called Evil Head. You didn't hear me wrong. I'm not calling this movie the wrong title. We're not talking about Sam Raimi's Evil Dead. We're talking about Evil Head, as in porno. Horror porno. That's what you picked.
Yeah. This is a whole untapped, you know, genre of horror. I don't think many people have covered, so.
I agree. I am also joined with Cake Bitch.
Looking forward to this one.
So, yeah, interesting. Watching a horror porn, not only with my girlfriend, but with my best friend. So, very weird.
Best friend
husband. Getting a threesome here today. This is the interactive movie where you can make your own happy ending. This
is not actually an interactive movie, is it?
That's just an assumption on my end. We actually haven't watched it yet. We're going to cut halfway through this, go watch the film, and then join back with you. So what I would like to say is, if you have not seen Evil Head, then before we get into the game show part of the podcast, then I would suggest to go ahead, watch it, and if you want to play along with us, then you can. We'll be throwing questions out, and you can answer them, and have yourself a good time. So if you want to be part of the show, go ahead and do that. And as always, we will be building a cake here today on the Cake Wolf Happy Hour. Initially, we're doing our icing, which is getting to know your hosts and what we've been doing in horror lately. And then we're going to be pushing it forth to our filling, which is going to be our little horror game with Evil Head. And finally, our crumbs, which is going to be a little bit of a wrap-up, giving you our ratings and final thoughts and a few other doodads. So, we'll start off with Cake Bitch, because we recorded last night.
Yes.
You didn't have too much time to fill in the horror stuff.
Right.
So, what have you been doing in horror lately?
Well, I was working on a cross-stitch that I'm making for Cake Wolf here, of the Nightmare on Elm Street chant. 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you, I think, is how it starts.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't actually stitched that line, so it's not engraved in my mind.
Can you say the next part of the line, Mr. Duskbrain? 1, 2, Freddy's coming for you. 3, 4. Better lock that door.
Yeah.
5, 6.
We aren't even playing the fucking game yet.
Grab your crucifix.
Right. Good job.
Jeez.
7, 8.
Gonna stay up late.
Uh-huh. 9, 10.
That one I didn't stitch yet.
Never sleep again.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a great one. I mean, I've seen Freddy Krueger movies more than you, Mr. Duskbrain. You're more on the Friday the 13th, which is why you have a Friday the 13th pen, and I have a Freddy Krueger pen.
Hmm. And I have a Sharpie marker.
Yeah, I tried to give her Leatherface. She wasn't digging it. Let's move it on to you, Mr. Duskbrain. In horror lately, what have you been up to?
I've been playing a lot of Kingdom Death Monster, a board game.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about it before.
Right. But just for those who are unfamiliar with it, Kingdom Death is basically a very expensive board game. It's massive. And you're able to play this by yourself. If any of you are familiar with board games like Betrayal at House on Haunted Hill, then you're going to be feeling a little bit more at home with this, especially if you have played pen and paper RPGs like Dungeons and Dragons. You're basically making a society and battling monsters and utilizing a game handbook to determine different things that happen throughout your adventure. And it's all horror-themed, which is very cool. It's a very, very dark tone to it. I like to say that it's reminiscent to my adventures throughout the Dark Souls world. It's probably a little bit more intense than that if you really get down and dirty into it, because there's some very adult themes in there.
Yeah, it gets a little weird, sexual tones.
And, mm-hmm.
Everything's really weird. There is a few humorous things in it, too.
Right.
But
speaking of the weird, since you've been playing lately, and this is pretty fun, you've got a campaign that you can play with whoever's there at the time, because you're playing as a civilization, like a village. So some people that show up to play one week and can't the next, their characters can either be played by others or kept in the village, which makes it really serviceable to play at any time, especially since you can play by yourself. So I was I made a character. I called him Jack Torrance after the character from The Shining, and something recently happened to him, didn't he? Because I wasn't there for that adventure.
Your character is like one of the only ones that are still living, because all of the other ones we created with you that game day, they're all dead.
Yeah.
A lot of characters die as you progress through here, but yours is still alive.
I guess it's the booze, the Jack Torrance booze.
Well, he... What happened? We were doing really good, you know, and then all of a sudden, your character decided to murder. I think you murdered. It was like a random settlement event, and your character, since he's so insane, decided to murder the strongest person in the whole settlement, which I think was either Josh or Simon.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember which one, but Josh and Simon both ended up dying. And you actually became the undisputed boss of the settlement after that.
Now, you said something else happened after that to my character. You became disfigured in some way. How did that happen?
Your character is so fucking crazy now. Like, we gave it all kinds of disorders and fighting arts, and it's like this massive fighting machine now. Tank.
That's insane, because this character at one point got... there's plenty of, like, different mental derangements you can get. And one of the phobias I picked up was called vestophobia, as in you cannot wear any armor on your chest, which is strange. You're afraid of vests.
Yeah, we got rid of that one.
Oh, luckily, okay.
But we gave you some other good ones.
All right.
You think you're immortal, so any damage you take, instead of physical damage to your body, actually... hurts your brain.
All right.
Lowers your insanity.
Nice.
Until you're sane again, and then you're going to start taking damage. So you're pretty much immortal as long as we keep you insane.
That's fantastic. That sounds like Jack Torrance, too.
Yeah, but you recently took a visit to the Bone Witch, and the Bone Witch clawed out your eyes.
Oh, nice.
And you can't... You have minuses to your accuracy, but... it upped your strength really high, so you can, like, pummel anything to death.
So I'm like Daredevil at this point. I can hear
people. And you have a samurai sword.
Oh, my God. This is crazy. So if you're interested in checking out this game, Dustbrain picked this up on Kickstarter. He got it at, like, a $250 introductory rate. I think it goes for around $350 now, maybe $4.
Yeah, $350, I think. It is available on their website, Kingdom Death.
Yeah, so if you want to check out more about that, you can look at it there. The creator of the game is, what's his name?
Adam Poots.
It's a very iconic-sounding name, Poots.
Poots.
Oh, man. So...
Sounds smelly.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything because I really like his game.
But. Yeah, actually on every one of his miniatures, if you flip it over, it has a little engraving that says, I love Poots.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so he knows.
All right. Anything else you've been doing in horror lately, Mr. Dustbrain?
I watched a weird movie.
Weird as in bad or
surprisingly
pretty bad tasty? No,
bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
You ever watch Shrunken Heads?
Yes, I love Shrunken Heads. I have it on Blu-ray, DVD, and VHS.
Oh my God. I figured you'd be into this. It's fucking full moon.
It's fantastic. I mean, it's basically a movie that's this coming-of-age tale that's cut short because these children get their heads cut off. And then they're just floating around causing mischief.
God.
What's better than that?
Everything.
They battle a mob. That's run by this hardened woman that's like super badass.
Is this as bad as the Yeti or worse?
No, this movie's fantastic. This is a Charles Band Star Gold classic. Everyone must see it, especially if they're a fan of
is it Star Full Gold Moon or Empire Star?
Films.
Well, luckily that's not too many people.
Well, I love that film. It's fantastic.
I will give it. It doesn't feel like your traditional schlocky Full Moon.
No.
I mean, they got a decent story.
I mean, it runs through from beginning to end like it's a movie made for children, but they put inappropriate things in it. Maintain the tone of it's for kids, it's giving you visuals that say, no, it's not. So, I mean, it's just really, it's weird, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fucking weird. And they got their voodoo all mixed up.
Weird. And like, the severed head, like, wants to, even though it's a severed head, it still has a love interest, right?
Yeah.
And you've got your it does have a mystical black man in it, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, he's the voodoo guy. Yeah, that's... Turns him into the shrunken heads. Well,
I mean, you know, there's a little bit of racism wherever you look, right?
This is pretty... I mean, granted, he was trying to help them out because he liked the kids.
Yeah.
So that's the reason when they were killed by this gang... You know,
I mean, it's just a shame that they can't...
He made them into these heads, and they're like his little minion super things.
Yeah.
To go out and kill bad guys. It's fucking bizarre. It's weird.
I mean, we're dealing so much with this iconic perspective of voodoo in our culture that it's become basically an archetype to think like... You know, voodoo dolls chopping chickens' heads off and, like, you know, praying to demon gods. It's a religion, you know. It's got its quirks, much like Christianity does. I feel like people should be playing around with Christianity as well. I mean...
Well, every single demonic possession movie plays around with that.
Yeah, I suppose it does, but I'm thinking more along the lines of, like,
yeah, but
you know...
when they do that to, you know, those kind of movies, they're not... It's, you know, the Christians aren't the bad people.
Right.
With voodoo...
That's what I'm trying to get at,
people are always bad.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, it's looked down upon, at least.
Right. Yeah, I mean, mostly that is true.
Well, wasn't that what they did with Mother and everyone was like, oh man, it's so awful.
I mean, Mother was just a bad movie, so I don't know what to tell you about that.
People were upset about the religious undertones.
I don't know what to tell you about Mother. It's bad. I can't stand it. It's one of those art house cinema films that just...
Honestly...
Doesn't do it for me. I recognize the talent that's behind it and know that it's you know, an important film for the message it's showing. And it's basically... A horror film about the Bible, just in a very like condensed and art house manner. I just have trouble getting into art house cinema.
I hated watching it, but I liked talking about it afterwards.
Right. Yeah.
So that was the only good thing.
All right. So what I've been doing lately in horror, I've been watching a lot of Christmas horror movies for the season. Caught three of them. First one is Better Watch Out from 2017. This one holds basically too many circumstantial occurrences benefiting the killer for this film that's basically meant to be so grounded in reality. Trying hard to become a holiday classic, I was oftentimes bored with the lack of creativity that was too often expressed with the use of borrowed scenes from fan favorites. I would say to basically avoid this one, but if you... are a fan of it, you want to hear someone talk some nice things on it, you can check out the Horror Movie Podcast, where they cover it in depth and actually interview the director of it. Second one I checked out was Red Christmas. This one stars Dee Wallace, and this is a 2016 Christmas horror film. This one has a promising setup, and this eventually violent and bloody film... basically has a theme throughout it that I appreciate, where no life is sacred in this film. It does somehow fall to very predictable outcomes, but that's not such a bad thing for this movie if you're just looking for a bit of a kill fest. However, if you are looking for another Christmas horror to add, to try out and add to your list, I think this one services as a good one-time watch. I feel like the scenes with there's a son that has Down syndrome. One of D. Wallace's kids has Down syndrome in it, and he's just a hoot. He does a lot of Shakespearean acting throughout it, and he's a good actor. He definitely brings it home for this film. The killer himself is pretty unique, and he's kind of a towering giant, a bit of a monolithic killer. And he's fun for the most part, but I feel like they could have given him a little bit more personality in this movie. The third one that I checked out was P2. This is from 2007. And I feel like this one's good enough for a yearly rotation, but it's not much of a Christmas horror film. It is a very good film, I think, and it has a theme in it that I appreciate, where you've basically got a dude that's obsessing over a woman, and after a Christmas party, she gets trapped in the work garage with this psychopath, and we've got the lead actor from American Beauty in it playing as our psychopath. He's really fun. He definitely brings it home. I think the acting all around in this one's very solid. And we get some really gruesome kills, especially one where you get this dude that's a bit of a sex offender who gets his just desserts. It is gory as fuck, and it's definitely something to be hopeful for as a watcher, because if you want to see some justice done to a sexual offender, you're definitely getting it in this movie. So P2... definitely two thumbs up for me. I really loved it. Probably not in my holiday rotation because the themes of Christmas in it aren't extremely strong. When I go holiday Christmas movies for horror, I usually do Silent Night, Deadly Night, which I made you watch.
I don't even remember watching it.
Oh, with the little boy who witnesses his parents get murdered by Santa Claus, and then he becomes a murderous Santa Claus later in his life.
Yeah.
I love that film.
Yeah, I didn't like it.
Yeah, I recently got that in the mail from Shout Factory. They had a release with the Blu-ray, both theatrical and uncut, and came with a poster and an action figure of Billy the Killer.
It was at least not the worst movie you've ever made me watch.
Yeah. So. At least you can say that. So let's get into a quick question here. Since I usually do this towards you, Cake Bitch, I'm going to do it to Dustbrain this time and get him a little bit prepped for the game coming up.
Welcome to Australia, cocksucker!
So, Mr. Dustbrain, I've got a question to throw at you. This is a question in basically a promotion segment for the Horror for Dummies podcast that's also on the same feed that we occur on.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. So you've seen the movie Gremlins, right?
Yeah.
You love the movie Gremlins. One of your favorite horror icons is the character Spike.
Yeah,
Yeah, I like him. Are you making all this up right now?
No, this is true.
Okay.
He likes Spike.
Not enthusiastic.
So,
I just don't know where you're going.
Okay. Okay, so basically, this is to determine whether you're a dummy or not. And, if you end up being a dummy, then you get insulted, and you're basically told that you could have avoided being a dummy by listening to the Horror for Dummies podcast and knowing the answer to the question I'm going to throw at you. So Spike, he at one point in the film jumps out of a tree, Christmas tree, and lands in the snow. Okay? All right?
Okay.
When he does land in the snow, how many gremlins pop out of his back?
Oh, man.
Because you know they can't get wet.
I don't recall that ever happening.
Basically, we've got the lead character's mother getting freaked out by the gremlins in the tree, and she bats it out the window. It lands in the snow.
Really? I don't remember that.
No?
No.
All right, so you don't have an answer for me?
No.
The answer is, Mr. Dustbrain, the answer is... that there are no gremlins that pop out of its back. This is one occurrence where the gremlins can get wet. Snow apparently does not affect them.
So it was a trick question.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well...
You and your trick questions.
I didn't think that happened.
So technically he was right.
So you can't get them wet, but you can get them wet with snow. Which is...
I guess that was an oversight.
Some things that don't really make a whole lot of sense.
Right, yeah, yeah. There's some weird things going on there. So, now I have to insult you. You're so stupid...
fuck you!
You put a quarter...
What are you talking about? I didn't give you a number.
You put a quarter in each of your ears and think you're listening to 50 Cent.
I did not give you a number.
No?
That should have been just as good.
Mm-hmm. Nah,
sorry. Yeah, I feel like he actually got that right.
Oh, come on. You can't be taking his side.
I think you just really wanted to use that awful insult.
I didn't get to use it last time on you. Are You a Dummy is a horror segment brought to you by the Horror for Dummies podcast. This segment is in no way endorsed by Horror for Dummies or its affiliators. All rights are reserved by Mick Taylor and copyrighted by the Dingo Ate My Baby Corporation. Thank you for listening and catch Horror for Dummies every Friday at padroom.podbean.com. So, from here, we're just going to go ahead and watch our movie, I guess. Our fantastic, special, super awesome, evil head film. And since I'm sitting in the middle here, I guess I'm the one who gets to go skiing.
What?
Skiing?
Skiing, like this, you know.
Huh.
Yeah.
I don't have any stroke.
All right, so before we get into the film, we're going to play a song for you that basically we're going to be picking a song that has something to do with the film that we're playing the game on. And this one was picked by Mr. Dustbrain. He loves his synth music, especially if it has like an 80s twist to it. This one is Sexualizer by Perturbator. Is there anything you know about Perturbator?
No.
Just that they have a song that's called Sexualizer that sounds like synth porno.
Yeah, I don't know. It's sexualized synth.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
It is good. I like it. So we're going to play that, and then we're going to hit you up with our little game.
We'll be right back.
right, so we are back. We have watched our movie, and before we go into the segment, we're going to throw the rules at you, so you know what the hell's going on. So, the last episode, it was just Cake Bitch and I, so it was a little bit easier to throw the questions directly at her. Because there's two of them now, we've got Cake Bitch and Dustbrain, we're going to have them, each with their own buzzer, to chime in when they want to answer the question. Now, they both did not take advantage of the fact that they could take notes during the film or questions to throw back at me. So I guess they're not going to throw questions back at me. Maybe they were just too into the porn. I don't know. What are you guys thinking?
It was literally just a porn.
Okay, we'll get into that. I disagree. Sure. So the rules of the show is basically going to go like this. I'm going to throw out a question, and when they want to answer it, they're going to ding in. For every correct answer that they give, they get 10 points. Now, at any point in time, they can choose to say that they're turning it around on me, and they're not going to answer my question. Instead, they're going to give me a question to answer. If the situation would happen where I get that question wrong, they still get their point. Now, if I get the question right, they lose double points. At any point, instead of answering a question, they can choose at any time to take a shot, which will still get them points. And if the situation would happen that they turn it around on me and I get the question right, instead of losing double points, they could take two shots and then lose no points. There is a new type of question I'm putting into the show, which is basically like a 30-second kind of challenge where they have so much time to give as many answers to the question as possible. And basically getting points for each answer to the question that they give. So those will appear closer towards the end of the game.
Are they open-ended ones or something?
Basically, yep. In that situation, they could rack up points by doing, as I said, answering a bunch of different, giving a bunch of different answers that are appropriate, or taking shots continuously for points. So we're going to get into the game now that you know the rules, unless either of you have any questions for me.
When would you ever take a shot?
When would I?
Yeah.
Basically, I would be taking a shot if I want to avoid letting you guys get one over on me. So in the situation where you would try to turn it around on me, right?
Yeah.
And you know, you would get that. If I wanted to take a shot, then I could stop that from happening. Same as in the occurrence where you answer a question properly and you would normally get your 10 points. Instead of letting you get your 10 points, I could take a shot. And you would basically have to take a shot to cancel me out.
Jesus.
Okay?
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. So we've each picked a film, and the winner of this episode basically gets to have the next film as the next game review. So I've picked Plan 9, which is the remake of the famous Plan 9 from Outer Space film. By Ed Woods. This remake is awful. It's super bad, so you don't want me to win. Because you don't want me to, you know, you don't want to cover this. Cake Bitch, you have picked Teeth, correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay. Vaginal dentata horror for you there. Woman with teeth in her vagina. Dustbrain, what have you picked?
I think I'm going with Baskin.
Baskin, okay. Baskin is a foreign film. Pretty strange, very dreamlike, very nightmare logic. That's a fun one. So we've got two potentially good films to cover and a really bad one. So don't want me to win. All right, let's move on into our main course, our filling, our game show. All right, so we're going to kick this off. Our first question is, I'm going to have you guys list off the cast. You can either answer it by saying the actors' names or the names of the characters that they play. There are four names that I'm looking for, the four main characters in the film.
We have to name all four?
Mm-hmm. Buzz in if you got the answer. Or if you want to take a shot for the points, you buzz in for turning around on me as well. Running out of time here.
I'll take a shot.
All right, let's hear that buzzer sound of yours. That's what Dust Brain sounds like. What does yours sound like, Cake Bitch?
I have to unlock it.
All right. I ran out of time. Just so they know whose is who.
That's what she said.
All right.
Probably won't hear it much.
All right, Dust Brain. So, you dung.
Yeah.
What do we got?
I don't know. What am I doing here?
Oh, you're taking a shot?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not taking a shot.
I can't remember
question.
All their names.
Okay.
I remembered three, but then there was
so
that
we have here
fucked lady.
We have.
I can't remember her name.
We've got Jin. We've got Pineapple Bacardi, and we've got whiskey. And Dust Brain is going for the whiskey. Now this is a. That's good.
Is that good.
Mm-hmm. I'm gonna lick what fell off of my fingers. This is a whiskey that you picked up, Cake Bitch. This is Boulay Bourbon Frontier Whiskey. It's a Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey.
Kind of think it's just bullet
yeah,
bourbon.
Yeah, this is bullet.
All right, I must have been Kentucky. Drinking too much because I can't read anymore.
Well, no, it's spelled weird, but it's also from Kentucky, so I'm pretty sure it's not Boulay.
So he is going for the whiskey, and he's taking a shot. Slam it down. There you go. All right. Next question.
Are you going to say what the four...
Yeah, I should.
Like, do you know
so,
who they are?
Yes. We've got Linda, Scotty, Ash, and Shelley. Linda's played by Joanna Angel, and Joanna Angel is the mastermind behind Burning Angels films. She has created this empire from the ground up. She directs, she acts, she writes.
Oh,
she is pretty amazing.
Some of the ads make noise.
And then we've got Shelley, who is played by Cleo Valentine. We've got Scotty, played by Danny Wilde. And Ashley J. Williams is played by Tommy Pistol. All right, so we're going to go ahead and do our next question. You guys ready with your buzzers?
Sure.
All right. This is an easy one. What's depicted in the intro scene as the cast call-outs roll? We've got... we've got basically the people driving, and there's an overlay throughout the intro scene. Dust Brain.
It's pages of the Necronomicon, except they're like skeletons screwing, and, you know.
Yes.
In sexual positions.
Yes, correct. So it's pretty interesting, and you said necromum. You had a little mush mouth going on there, but it's Necronomicon.
That's what I said.
So
don't be Alex Trebek here.
All right, I won't be Alex Trebek. I apologize, but yeah, as Dust Brain said, we've got the Necronomicon, and it looks pretty groovy. We've also got the ancient text in the Necronomicon that looks pretty legit as compared to the original Evil Dead film. The images themselves, though, I mean, they're very phallic and vaginal, and yeah, lots of screwing. So, how about our next question? You guys ready with your buzzers? What color is Ash's shirt and pants?
My buzzer's not working.
That's what
I'll
she
just
said.
Take a shot.
All right.
Like a shot of alcohol.
Oh, okay. You're going to take a shot of alcohol.
Give me the gin.
Okay, you want the gin.
Yes, because all right. I just, you know, fill it to the top.
I'll let
too.
You pour. I'll hold the shot glass. And this is a gin that you picked up.
Oh, actually, no, this is good gin. I don't want to shoot this.
Okay.
Give me the whiskey.
Sure, we'll do the whiskey. Going back to the gin itself, this is Eight Oaks Craft Distillery's American Gin. It's craft distilled, and it's pretty tasty stuff. This is 44% alcohol.
Shit.
Now, as far as the whiskey goes, the whiskey that she's taking is 45% alcohol, 90% proof. Ugh. Was that good? The face she's making, if only you could see it. Well, it looks like...
It's the face of shame.
It looks like you get the points there, cake bitch.
I have the whiskey on my sleeve.
Correct answer is Ash is wearing a blue shirt. It's button-up, long sleeve. And he's got brown pants on. And what's interesting is...
To cover the shit stains?
All of the characters in the film are wearing the same clothes from The Evil Dead. Now, there's slight variances, but they're pretty spot on.
As in, like, they take it all off, mostly?
As in, like, the shoes that Ash is wearing are incorrect. They're, you know, more modernized than sneakers. But, yeah, I mean, for the most part, they're pretty legit. Comparatively, they match spot on for the most part. So moving on to our next question, we've got our buzzers ready. You really know a way to a girl's heart, blank. This is a quote in the movie, and you're trying to fill in the blank. So we've got, you really know a way to a girl's heart. This is spoken by Linda, and Ash responds with, this is right before the first sex
scene. Yeah, I know, and it's like...
Go ahead.
Through a vagina.
Yep, that's correct. That's right. That is absolutely correct, Mr. Dustbrain. The way to a woman's heart is through her vagina. And I don't even think you needed to hear that in the film. I think you just know that instinctively. All right. So, moving on to our next question. We've got our buzzers ready. As they find the book, the Necronomicon, and the audio recording... There's a cross stitch on the wall. And what does the cross stitch say?
I don't know because I was working on my cross stitch.
That is why I chose this question. Go ahead.
Smile.
Yeah. Yep, that is absolutely correct, Dustbrain. It does indeed.
I was looking at some other things.
Uh-huh.
Other than, you know.
Yeah, other than the tits and the butt and the the vajayjay. All right, so the cool thing about this scene is the audio recording equipment that they play to kind of replicate that scene in the original Evil Dead film is the same kind of equipment in style. It's completely working equipment. It's not like they built this. This is something that they somehow dug up somewhere, and it's like a two-reel tape player kind of equipment. It looks pretty awesome.
Yeah, it looks good.
Yeah. So there's definitely some legitimacy in the film. Now, they definitely do skip around, but they're hitting core parts of the film, and there's a lot of porn. So, all right, our next question we have here. Now, this is one that that you should definitely know, Mr. Dustbrain. What is the mantra in the semen-soaked Necronomicon that is played through the audio recording? This is the same mantra that is used in the original Evil Dead film, and they basically play in all of the Evil Dead franchise.
You mean the saying?
Yes, the mantra, the saying.
Oh, how am I supposed to remember that?
Oh, man. They said it a million times in that scene.
Not something you remember offhand.
Mumble, 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 mumble.
All right, we are running out of time here, guys.
Fuck you, I'm not giving you the point.
All right, you just buzzed in. He's taking a shot. The correct answer is Klata Varata Niktu.
Ah, yeah.
Klata Varata Niktu, Klata Varata Niktu.
Yeah.
You think we're going to get some deadites in here now?
Should have known that.
No.
I don't know, that's kind of hard to remember.
Not really.
He couldn't remember it in the movie, remember?
Yeah, that's true. All right, so
the cork is not.
Yeah, we're just gonna leave the cork out because it seems like we're enjoying the whiskey a lot, which is what Dustbrain has chosen as his poison here. So our next question. Let me give Dustbrain some points here.
I'm sorry, mine keeps locking.
Yeah, we're trying this new application out for our buzzing in, and it's playing ads every once in a while. So sorry about that.
Some random.
Our next question. How does Scotty, which is Ash's friend, get Ash and Linda to let him in on the potential threesome? Because Ash and Linda are getting it on. Scotty just kind of creeps in there because Shelly walks off to go to bed. And, yeah, so Scotty wants in on the action. What does he say to convince them?
I feel like he just asks.
There's a very specific phrase that we got here. You guys gonna buzz in? Running out of time. All right, well, both of you did not get that one. What we have here is, come on, you know she wants it. You know she wants it. Famous phrase that gets people in trouble.
The complete silence of just disgust.
Why'd you grab him by the pussy? You know she wants it.
Oh. I'm never doing this again.
All right, next question. Which character from The Evil Dead is not in The Evil Head? We've got four characters in The Evil Head as main characters. We had five main characters in The Evil Dead. What character is missing?
I have to know the name.
Well, you can also just say the role that she played. That would be fine for me.
This is tough. Because we're talking about the original Evil Dead, right? Not the Evil Dead 2?
Yes.
See, I don't remember that one well enough. Because I always watch Evil Dead 2.
Okay.
And I've never watched any of them.
So all right, so, yeah, I guess I'm going to go ahead and get the points for that one. It's Cheryl, Ash's sister, because why? They just can't put that incest in here. It would probably be a little bit too weird.
Yeah.
Because everyone's fucking everyone. All right, well, so...
Well, showed some decency. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next question. Which of them... which of the two of them, out of Ash and Scotty, while they're having sex with Linda, which one of them puts it in Linda's ass?
That's what she said, because my thing is closed. Okay, it's Scotty.
No, Cake Bitch. Sorry, I played the applause one. I meant to play that
both
one.
Both of them?
Yeah, that's the right answer. It's both of them. Mm-hmm. So that is points for me. Looks like I'm catching up. All right. So Shelly catches Ash and Scotty and Linda having sex. She gets upset at this because she's with Scotty, so she runs off crying into the woods, but she gets enticed by a tree. much like in the original Evil Dead. But in the Evil Dead, there was a tree rape. In this one, she's all about it. So she finds this tree very sexy. And what is one of the lines that she screams in pleasure to the tree? Of course, besides, oh, yes. Oh, God, yes, 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 yes. There are a few lines that she says. There are a few lines she says. They have to be like, you know, it can't be like the oh, yes, oh, yes.
I don't remember the entire line. Just the gist.
All right, you guys.
We can turn it around on you, right?
You can turn it around on me if you have a question. Yep. Sure.
Go ahead, buzz in.
I have a question.
All right, sure.
What cartoon character does the main character, Ash, have tattooed on his side torso region?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know this one. So that goes to you, Dustbrain. That's points for you. What's the answer for that?
Pokemon.
No, he has Shake from Aqua Teen.
Really?
Yeah.
That's awesome. Shake is great. Yeah, so one of the lines was, I never knew a tree could fuck that good. And surprisingly, there is no sap shot at the end of this.
No. This is the sound of disgust and frustration.
All right, next question. Get your buzzers ready. What does Shelley pull out of her vagina when she comes back to the cabin to see Ash and Linda? And what does she do with this thing that she pulls out of her vagina?
That's what she said.
Okay.
Is it like a tree dildo?
It is.
And she stabs Linda in the arm?
Yep. She does stab Linda. I'll give it to you. She actually stabs Linda in the leg, though.
Oh, okay.
But I feel like that was good enough, so that's an applause on you, Miss Cake Bitch. Good going. We're going to go with next one. Get your buzzers ready. Swallow your soul, swallow your soul. These were lines from the original Evil Dead. Now, in the Evil Head porn parody, there is a switch on this. So instead of saying, swallow your soul, what does Shelley say to Scotty? Dust brain?
Pretty sure she's saying, swallow you whole.
That is correct. I will swallow you whole. Add some points for Dust Brain over there. All right. Next question. After killing Scotty, Shelley puts on her undies and tries to attack Linda before Ash puts her in the cellar. Now, what color are those panties?
Pink.
You could say that, but they were like a hot pinkish red. I'll go with pink or red.
Hot pink or red.
Yeah, that's fine. But you know what? Even though you did get that, I think I'm gonna take a shot to nullify those points because you're.
No! Can you do that?
Yeah, I can nullify his points with a shot before I go to the next question.
You okay?
That is how I am able to take shots now. He can.
I thought it was if we turned it around on you.
No, at any point I can stop you from getting points by taking a shot.
Okay.
But you can also, at that point, take a shot to stop me from taking the points. So.
Well, yeah, I'm going to take a shot, too. Fuck you.
I chose whiskey, which...
You're not getting that woof. Shot.
This is not actually, I don't think, made for shooting whiskey.
Oh, shit. Probably too much in there that time.
Well, there you go. You got it. Take it and you have it. All right, Jason, Mr. Dustbrain, has maintained his points.
You're going to have to get Old Co next time for this stuff.
Yes.
No. That will not go down good.
Yeah, Old Crow hits hard, but I think that would be appropriate. It would stop you from being so savvy with this. Next question.
Savvy.
Well, you know, my words are going all loosey-goosey at this point.
You only did one shot, didn't you?
But I'm on my second beer. I had beers earlier today, as well as wine.
Let's get this misery over with.
Lesbian deadite sex with Linda and Shelley commences. And, Linda quickly turns into a deadite, as Shelley basically bursts out of the cellar. Now, while they're having their lesbian deadite sex, what is done with Linda's panties in this scene? Mr. Dustbrain.
Panties are shoved into her mouth.
Into whose? Linda's panties are shoved into whose mouth?
Shelley.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, like, she closes it, her mouth, and then pulls it out.
Well, yeah, they make out with the panties in the mouth first, but yeah, that's good enough. I'll give that to you.
I really didn't
think about cross-stitching. It looked like she was gonna swallow it, but
right, yeah. All right, so how does Ash's hand turn evil?
Oh, that's what she said.
Okay.
He tries to finger one of the possessed girls. I don't remember which one, but it doesn't matter.
Yes, I'll give that to you. That's good enough. Basically, Ash wants to get in on the action that Shelley and Linda are having, so he sticks his pointer finger up Shelley's asshole,
Oh, and, it's in the ass.
Yep. Mm. In her asshole, and that is how that happens. All right.
I'd turn your hand evil, too.
So his hand basically starts doing like it did in the original Evil Hand, Evil Dead.
Evil Hand, that's the next one. Sequel to Evil Head.
And it's, you know, trying to strangle him. And he's doing the fish hook thing to himself and smacking himself into walls. Now, I have to say, the actor playing Ashley is actually really comical. I enjoyed him a lot.
Once they got into that stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
he's goofy. I mean, even during the sex, he's goofy. Yeah. And that's something that's going to say about these.
All of the sex is fucking goofy.
It is, and I love that about this Burning Angel film. Like, most of the porn parodies that I see are just trying to be way too serious, or just they suck at acting, but these guys are actually pretty decent as acting.
These people were not good at acting.
I think they're decent. No. Yeah, I think so.
No.
Well.
Yeah, you compare them to, like, B-movie actors, sure, why not?
Yeah, they act like Joey acts as an actor in Friends.
Oh, well. You know, I think they do a pretty decent job. All right, so next question. We've got a 30-second challenge coming at you. Basically, how many can you list here? What's going on here is we have a scene where Ash takes his chainsaw, brings Shelley over to it, and makes her straddle the chainsaw, and then he revs it. And as the chainsaw is going, it's just shooting Shelly's guts everywhere, and blood's going all over the place. It's pretty fantastic.
So now, sexy.
This does happen, this does happen after Ash does use the chainsaw on his own hand to cut it off. So at this point, he's got a nubbin. So I want to know how many... basically, how many appropriate porn names can you give to this maneuver where you're making a woman straddle a chainsaw and then turning it on?
Zero, so pass.
What?
Yes.
Porn
names. Do no either of you want to... Do either of you want to...
Chainsawing a woman's vagina.
Do either of you want to accept the challenge and see how many you can name or take a so many shots to get points? No.
It has to relate to the chainsaw thing.
All right. Well, I'm.
Can't we have some?
Running out of time here. You're gonna have to say if you're doing something or not.
I'll just take a shot.
Okay, you're gonna take a shot.
Yeah, maybe. It's...
Okay. All right. You're gonna go with the Bacardi pineapple.
I mean, you can have some of the good gin if you want some of the good gin.
So Jason is bypassing the 30-second challenge and taking a shot. Are you just taking one shot? Because you can take multiple during a 30-second challenge and get as many points as you want from it.
I'm good with one.
All right. Good with one, so you're getting 10 there. We go in 10-point increments. Yeah, Bacardi pineapple as a shot makes you go, ugh. Just so you know. Another 30-second challenge. List how many ways... to fuck a stub, or how you can use a stub in sex. Because the next scene that we have here is Ash using his severed hand stub as a sex tool while using the rest of his body. Just to have the video on your face to make all of those listeners know how you feel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I'll let you go first if you want to tackle this one.
How you can fuck a stub?
How many ways can you list how you can fuck a stub? How you can use a stub in sex? Are you taking the challenge?
Sure.
Okay. She's taking the challenge.
All right. So do you need to start a timer or anything? Or do I just...
I got it going.
All right. Well, you can use it as a sort of fisting mechanism in the vagina or the ass. So that's two ways. You can use it just as friction on the clit. That would be a second way. I guess you could just... I don't know. There's no way to not fist somebody with a stub. So you could use it to rub on their nipples or shove in their mouth like people like to do with their fingers.
You are out of time and you have obtained 5 points, my dear. So that is... 1, 2, 3, 4, 50 points. that you have obtained there. And I am okay with all of those. I would have also been okay with strapping dildos to the stub.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
Do they make stub strap-ons?
Stub jerking off?
I mean, I guess I should have dove down that rabbit hole, because that one detective novel I was listening to touched on the fact mm-hmm. that people find paraplegics.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You could have even gone into, like, penis in the ass, stub in the mouth, penis in the ass, stub in the vagina, penis in the vagina, stub in the ass, penis in the vagina, stub in the mouth.
I feel like you're just saying you combinations of penis and stub.
You could have gone with it. You could have run with it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You said the stub, though. You didn't say extra toys.
Right, just the stub. But all right, not
so
sure.
That's taking a little bit too much creative liberty.
All right, too much creative liberty, I'll give you that. All right, we're moving on to our next question. Get your buzzers ready. We've got Ash cutting off Linda's head, and then he buries Linda. He buries the head last, and before he does, he comes all over her face. Yeah, so she basically says, you found me beautiful once. And he says, yeah, but you got ugly real quick. And then he comes all over her face. So, what we have here is a 30...
Ugly people turn him on.
Another 30-second challenge. How many names for coming on someone's face can you come up with?
Without Urban Dictionary, you mean?
Yes.
I can't come up with any.
Are either of you going to hit your buzzer and go for the gold?
I mean, Jason, go for it.
I'll try.
All right, he's going to go for it.
Splooge. Shit, my brain's not working. Fuck. Where's
bleaching the eyebrows. I'm going to help him out.
I don't know.
Smells like bleach.
All right, so that gives you 2 points, Mr. Dustbrain, because Christina, Miss Cakebitch, threw one at you for some reason.
I made
but we would have accepted Money Shot Bukkake.
Oh, yeah. God.
Oh, so they weren't, like, new terms.
No.
Oh,
just,
I thought we had to make up our
own. No, just any terms at all. All right, so next question.
My eyes are on fire. Another one.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel ashamed.
Yeah, you should have gone for the gold with that. I feel like you should have got like 20.
Well, I'm not good with words.
Laughing. Okay. So Ash goes back into the cabin. There's a laughing deer. The clock's running backwards. Ash is laughing like crazy. The camera's zooming in on his face. This is a scene very reminiscent to that of The Evil Dead. Then we've got Linda rising from the grave with Shelley, and for some reason, a third deadite. This is very strange. So who is the third deadite that helps rape Ash, and then turns into Ash not being raped, but actually having a foursome? Mr. Dustbrain.
He comments that, It's his ex is coming back.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
To haunt him.
And that's the only info we get on that that woman there. So I guess they just wanted a foursome. They ran out of opportunities with the amount of cast that they had.
Well, that would mean he like been to this cabin before and killed his ex and buried him out there.
that's kind of disturbing.
And I don't know. All their private parts looked very aggravated and angry and sad at the same time.
Yeah.
That was very real, though.
Now, I am going to try and stop him from getting
Super
this...
Pink.
Try and stop him from getting this point by taking a shot here. So, here's my shot. I'm taking the whiskey.
Well, then I'll do a shot to cancel out your points.
Oh, God. You're going to help him?
Yeah. Because I really don't want to watch another shitty movie.
All right. Well, looks like you keep your points, Mr. Dustbrain. No. All right. Bonus round.
I hate it. I should have done the wrong.
Bonus round. You can get extra points.
My eyes are watering.
For any worst sex horror story that you are willing to tell.
I don't have a sex horror story. You mean just like a horrible sex story?
Right, yeah, just like something awful.
Pretty sure we already divulged this.
Yeah, so you'd have to come up with a new one that you didn't mention before if you want an extra 10 points.
Oh boy.
It's up to you. Either
I don't have anything that good.
Nope.
I have something. I'm trying to think if I can say some of this stuff.
You don't have to mention who with.
No names.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going
to
do it.
You have to do it now or you lose.
No, I guess he has honor.
No, you have to do it now.
You should get at least 5 points for having some honor.
No points for honor on the Cake Wolf Happy Hour. This is a podcast for degenerates. This is a podcast.
We don't need points.
For degenerates. He doesn't know how many points he has. I want to know this story.
Oh, God.
You have to tell. You know, the listeners expect it at this point, especially since I'm pushing it.
What did I say before? I said the,
You said the squirter story.
The squirting story.
Yeah, surfing high times.
Yeah, what's the other... There was two, wasn't there? What was the other one?
Well, there was the weird nipple.
Oh, the weird nipple,
you took that woman's virginity, and it was a weird nipple.
That's not a weird story, that's just...
No, it was an inverted nipple.
Yeah.
It's just the way her nipple was built. That's not a weird sex story.
No. No, that wasn't part...
That wasn't too bad.
That wasn't within the context of the question at the time. But this one's supposed to be a fucked up story of sex.
I don't think it's right to make people divulge those things.
All right. If you don't want to, I'll let you go on this one occasion.
I don't know.
All right. He's not taking it. So, as we calculate our points here, I do want to mention that at this point of the film, after the foursome, Ash basically kills everyone with his chainsaw and then says groovy.
But he already killed everybody with his chainsaw.
Well, he kills them again. And then
they come back again and he has sex with them again and then kills them again.
Well,
and
you could rewind it and just see it as a perpetual hellscape.
I mean, it's all that happens.
Yeah.
So.
Basically, what we have here is me with 30 fucking points because I was a pussycat and I did not take as many shots as I should have. Miss Cake Bitch, she has 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 points. And these are all given in 10 point increments. Dust Brain, he's got 130. So, looks like Dustbrain is the winner of this particular game. And I suppose that means we will be covering the movie Baskin the next time. So, we are going to go into our crumbs, give our final thoughts and ratings of Evil Head.
Bon appetit, bitch!
All right, fellas, so final thoughts and your ratings of this magical, fantastical, mystical, wonderfully penis and vagina-filled film.
And butthole.
And buttholes, too.
Butthole pleasures. There were some butthole pleasures.
So what are your final thoughts on this?
I've got a few shots of whiskey now, so my tongue's going to stop working.
What are your final thoughts?
Me?
Mm-hmm.
I hated it. It was stupid. I hated everything.
You hated all of it.
It was woman-led, and she kept asking, how do you like that? Do you like his cock in my ass? Do you like that? I don't get it.
You don't.
The other one that was fucked by the tree, at least she was like, yeah, this is great. I don't care what you think.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well.
She was the first to die.
But yeah,
first evil one.
You know, this is produced by Joanna Angel.
What's so confusing about it.
And she owns the company. She's built this empire of porn.
It seems like a good opportunity to put some woman power in there, and it's more like, do you like watching his cock in my ass?
Well, she
that was mostly her thing.
She does have her woman power being expressed in the fact that she doesn't give a fuck what anybody thinks. This is what she likes.
I guess.
Yeah, this is her ideal wonder job.
She likes asking,
asking and telling
what he wants from her.
Yeah. Well, what's cool is you can see in moments of the film that she is actually leading the cast. At one point, she says to Ash that, you know, what, did he forget what he was doing down there? And then she pushes his face into the vagina even further.
Isn't that after she's possessed?
Yeah, but, okay. You know, at the same time.
Because women's sexuality needs to be scary.
I think you're looking a little too far.
Yeah, this is a porno.
I don't know.
You can't look at it that way. It's a fucking porno.
I can.
All right, now let's say this, Miss Cake Bitch. Whereas she chokes on Ash's cock, Ash chokes on her asshole. So I feel like there is a lot of equality in this, because she doesn't let him come up for air.
But only on after she's possessed. Only after she's evil.
That is ridiculous.
I'm just pointing out a very clear thing. Before she's possessed, the only thing she cares about is how he likes things. And then after she's possessed, it's all about her.
Well, he didn't want his friend to fuck her and join in on the three-way.
But he let it happen because she wanted it. Yeah.
Exactly.
No, his friend said she wanted it.
She did.
Did she, though?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure she did, because as soon as he whipped out his wanger, she was diddling and danging on both sides.
She's very focused on pleasing those men.
She was a Chinese finger trap.
All right, you see it how you want to see it, but...
Well, I'm just saying...
This is your typical porno.
You can't look at a porno and start dissecting it, really.
Well, within the porn industry, I think this is...
What sells
better...
Yeah, this is high-class porno.
There's some really bad...
Yes!
Oh, God.
This is the top tier in porn, really.
I mean, ever... What's that one guy's name?
The quote unquote.
Oh, Max. Yeah. I know who you're talking about. I know exactly where you were going. Max Hardcore.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the creep who went to jail.
There's a bunch of guys like that in the porn industry. Well, I mean, that's awful. Like,
yeah. I guess it's good that a woman let it, because it meant the women actors were safer.
Right. But now, I think we need to let the listeners know who Max Hardcore is. He was basically a violent porn entrepreneur that got his audience by doing, like I said, very violent and disgusting stuff in his pornos. Now, he did find women that were into it, but he dressed them up like they were not fit for age in these roles that he had them playing. And he would do very...
Women that looked really young.
Yeah, he would gag them with his cock until they vomited, and then he would make them lick up their vomit. He would basically put contraptions from their pee hole to their asshole, and then take that and put it into their mouth hole. Really disgusting stuff.
And people paid for this.
This guy was popular at the time. That's why he was actually incarcerated for some of these controversies that he was putting forth. And rightly so. I mean, he's pretty disgusting. that's who that fucker is. In this movie, we want to touch upon what we think about the special effects, because they did have special effects in this thing. There was, excuse me, that whiskey. There was gore. What did you guys think of the gore?
I mean,
pretty basic in my opinion. Yeah, it's basically just blood. You don't get to see too much more than that, but there's a lot of it. And there's blood all over the floor while there's sex scenes going on, which I found interesting. There's even blood on them during the sex scenes.
Some pretty good blood splatters. I mean, when he cut his hand off with the chainsaw.
Yeah.
The vagina on the chainsaw was probably the best.
Yes, I agree with that.
I was cross-stitching at that time, apparently.
How about, we touched upon the acting. Is there any other final thoughts that you have for this? Any moments that I may have skipped during the game that you'd like to cover?
I mean, it was just a bunch of sex with major plot points from Evil Dead. It wasn't
right
anything.
I really like the tree sex scene. I like how they put that in. And it is, like, fucking long. That is, like,
all of the scenes are long. 25-minute
scene there. So yeah. what are your ratings of this?
If I had me for a porno, I think it's pretty good.
Okay, like out it. Of a 5.
1-5?
Yeah, 1-5.
What is this a porno rating, or are we rating this against all of
your enjoyment movies? Rating.
Enjoyment rating?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I'd still probably give it 2.
Okay. Cake bitch?
I cross-stitched during it.
Okay.
And all I can remember is Fran Drescher's nanny laugh.
Just remember, so. You gave the Yeti that I loved from 1972 a 0.
Yeah, I'll give this a 1 because
the oh one my god!
The one guy had the decent acting down. Only the one.
He was
one
funny.
Playing Ashley. Yeah, he was all
he was
right.
Funny. He was funny. I liked him.
Actually, you know, I'm going to get... Bump it up to a 3.
That's what I was going to give it, a 3, actually. I give this one a 3. I think it's enjoyable. Now, it has the a lot of the major plot points of the Evil Dead in it. It doesn't cover all of them. But it's got enough in there to be funny. At one point, they open the Necronomicon, and its pages are sticking together. I mean, it's just got so much comedy in it. And the amount of detail that they went into to make sure that this felt... legitimate, and the comedy that's in there is great. Plus, where else can you see Deadites have sex with each other? I mean, come on.
That's the other thing I wanted to touch on. The makeup jobs was done by, like, a 6-year-old girl.
Well, if you look at the makeup jobs for the original Evil Dead, they weren't high quality.
Were they also made by 6-year-old
girls? They were about as good, I would say.
Like, I should dig out the photo that I took after Sarah did my makeup way back when, because it's basically what Linda looks like.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what do you, it's a you porno. Know,
they brought
it's
in some shit. They brought in some kids to do
I honestly paid less attention to the faces when there were so many boobies flapping around.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we should put a caveat in here. Most of the film is just fucking...
It's right.
Just
sex. You've got probably, I would say, 1% of the movie is 15 to 20 minutes of storyline.
That's generous.
Yeah, that's being generous. And this is a, what, 2-hour movie?
Yeah, around there.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, there's a ton of sex, and the scenes are long, and sometimes they can be goofy, so... If you want to have a laugh at it and you're a horror fan, why not?
Anal, vagina.
Nothing
anal.
Is sacred in this in this porno. Nothing is sacred. The dick goes everywhere. The vagina goes everywhere. All right, so
that's pretty standard now.
Yeah, well, it depends on what kind of quality of pornos you're watching. So we're gonna move into. Basically, we've got some for the first time ever.
Oh, one thing before you do continue, I do want to mention that this was from, 2012?
Yes, so it's a little bit older.
So this was actually Burning Angel's first big production parody movie. So, like, they have continued doing these, you know, and there's a bunch. We might have to review some of these.
Yeah.
They have the Walking Dead one.
You guys can do it yourselves. make that real weird because this, I am not sitting in on the next one.
This isn't their first venture and only venture. They have done, like you said, The Walking Dead, which right now is very popular.
Yeah, there's plenty of other ones. This was the first one we're looking at. That's pretty basic. They've actually grown pretty substantially as a company.
Right.
So I'm curious to see what the quality of the new parodies are.
I am too, because I feel like this one was very enjoyable. So we're going to move into a small little tidbit segment, which I am extremely excited about, because as much of the begging, pleading, and cocksucking as I've been doing on the internets lately, I have had a lot of trouble getting listener feedback.
I think that's metaphorical.
Possibly. We do have listener feedback, what? So I'm going to throw this at you guys. We're going to start off with our good boy, Mr. Darian Brock of the Padded Room Podcast, who allows us to put our show on his feed, our disgusting, degenerate show. He says, Cakewolf, Dustbrain, Cake Bitch, Delarthian, anyone else that might be present during tonight's recording. In regards to last episode's review of whatever that god-awful movie was with Jenna Jameson, it's been my experience that very few porn actresses make the crossover into mainstream media. But when they do, it's usually straight into the horror genre. I couldn't agree more with you there, Darian. I think you're right on the button there.
It's because I always go, sex or dying, when I'm listening to a horror movie.
Most notable examples of this are the previously mentioned Ginger Lynn, that has somehow impressed Rob Zombie, I think I know how she impressed Rob Zombie, enough to show up in The Devil's Rejects and 31 films. On a personal note, I had the privilege of hanging out with Miss Lynn for a while at a horror convention in Seattle. She was super cool. How about that?
I feel like you've drank so much at this point that you're reading this like a children's novel, but continue. Well,
honestly...
She is super cool.
Honestly, I am kind of waiting for the end of this podcast because my brain is floating.
How many shots did
you have? I've been drinking all day.
I did 2 full shots of whiskey, and I am ready to go.
Yeah, my brain's floating.
Anyways, this so is how
cool? How yeah, I know. How cool? My higher brain function's working, and the lower one's not. So how cool would it be with Ginger Lynn hanging out with her for a day?
I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, Darian's quite the Mac Daddy. So, another example, as Darian continues, another example is Sasha Gray, who actually had a pretty solid performance in 2014's Would You Rather. Not a bad show all around, he says. Sasha Gray, I do really enjoy my Sasha Gray videos, I have to admit. And, I mean, come on, right?
Yeah, she's pretty hot.
Yeah, of course. Have you seen Would You Rather? Either of you.
I have not.
Now, I feel like Cake Bitch...
I think I did, but I don't remember it too well.
Yeah, it's definitely really worth seeing. It's a great film. It's got Sasha Gray in it, as Darian says, and she does very well. It's got the guy that you like, Dustbrain from Trailer Park Boys, the main character, the one with the flat top kind of mullet thing. The lead. Not Bubbles, but... The other guy, not the dude with the black hair. I can't remember his fucking name.
Ricky.
Ricky, that's it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, he's in it. And he's funny. He fucks with a grandma in it. I like that. Cake Bitch, I think you should see it because Niles from Frasier, the show Frasier, is in it. And he is the lead antagonist. He is the killer.
Niles, the brother?
Yes. Or no... No, I am thinking, I'm crossing movies over at this point.
So, in other words, Niles, I don't need to see it.
Niles is not in it, Ricky is. Oh, God.
Where's your brain?
My brain is gone.
I think it's in that jar.
I think it is. It's in the whiskey jar.
Really? No, that is not true. As
Darian continues, Darian says, in regards to my favorite porn stars and pornographic films, that's a harder question to answer. No pun intended. God damn it, Darian. I kind of go in phases when it comes to porn stars, but some of my go-tos include Texas Presley, Chelsea Romero, and Jessica Sweet. Are you familiar with any of those? Texas Presley, Chelsea Romero, or Jessica Sweet?
No.
The only name that I've recognized other than Ginger Lynn, because we watched that awful movie. Right. Is Sasha Gray.
Right, I know, yeah.
Yeah, and I don't know why.
Maybe, I mean, Darian, I think, is not that old. I think he's around our...
he does not sound very old.
No, I think he's around our age. I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm just not as well-versed in pornos as he is.
There's a lot of porn out there.
Oh, yeah. So this could be, like, Yugoslavian or Hungarian porn.
2-hour porn.
Hungarian porn with a name like Texas Presley, right?
That's to appeal to American men.
Darian continues, Unfortunately, I do not think any of them are currently active anymore, so I guess I need to make some kind of a mixtape of their best scenes.
Maybe they're retro actresses.
All right. I would like to see this mixtape, Mr. Darien. I think you're going to be photoshopping your face in there somehow. As far as favorite pornos goes, I'm a little more of a Renaissance man in that regard. My
oh my god, do you need me to take over?
I just can't believe that that sentence there where he uses fucking Renaissance man, Jesus Christ. My all-time favorite is the first one I ever saw when I was in the sixth grade at a buddy's house. It stars Tonisha Mills, Terry Driver, and Angela Summers. He must hold this pretty dear to his heart to remember this by heart.
How does he remember all these names?
I don't fucking know. I don't
keep the track first porno he ever saw. I mean, I think that's a big deal in man world, isn't it? Do you not remember? Oh, your experience was very
I mean, when you're trying to... Yeah, when you're trying to find a horror movie that you saw as a kid, that's pretty hard. But trying to find a porno... Like, that's like a needle in a haystack.
Well, maybe they the amount of horror movies in sixth grade that it wasn't a monster movie, Matt.
The amount of horror movies that are out there just flood all of the other genres. And to say that,
if you're comparing that
to, if they're comparing that to pornos,
yes, but you're
the amount of pornos floods horror.
You're saying this as a millennial. In the time of, we grew up with the internet.
All right,
porn has always been very accessible to us.
All right. Well, I remember a time where there was no internets.
Yeah, it was before middle school.
All right, all right. So, basically, he continues saying, I'm talking, of course, about the immortal classic, Titty Slickers.
So that's a good name for a porn.
Right.
Doesn't sound like anything I need to watch.
Well, you know, Evil Dead, Evil Head, City Slickers, Titty.
Yeah, when I told my coworker that I was going to be watching Evil Head with
Titty Slickers.
My boyfriend and his best friend, I was like, that is
you
a sentence.
You told your coworker about this?
Yeah, yes, I told her about this.
What the hell
I
is
said,
wrong
it's
with
called
you?
Evil Head, and so I'm sure there's going to be some blowjobs.
So I guess your mother listens to this podcast. So.
Oh, I hope she does. Hi, Mom.
titty slickers, yes. So he continues saying, it's not so easy to find these days, but you can find clips from it on X Videos or Pornhub. Till next time, Darien. P.S. I had sex with Ginger Lynn. I fucked her in the asshole.
That's not really there.
Yeah, don't.
All right, it's not really there.
Jesus Christ.
Not really there. The last bits of our write-ins, I wanted to give Darien a nice showcase there since he was our first write-in. Other write-ins come from Cameron Jones. His Twitter handle is @para_mystery. He is a paranormal researcher, and he is also the executive producer of The Mothman of Point Pleasant. He says, do you think Evil Dead 2 is a sequel or more of a remake of the first film? Mr. Duskbrain, I will let you answer this question because you so eloquently answered it outside while I was...
Before the alcohol.
While I was sober. Soberer.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious to me that it's a remake. He pretty much made the first film, and then he got more money, you know. He didn't have a whole lot of budget for the first film. And then once he got a budget, he made Evil Dead 2 and was able to do all those fucking awesome claymation stuff and special effects. Like, it was like, this is what he wanted to do.
Right.
And this is a time where, like, the remakes weren't a big thing.
Yeah.
We weren't remaking movies every, like...
We weren't calling them remakes.
Yeah. So they just named it Evil Dead 2. And
because sequels were more accepted at that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Now, as a child, I had these on VHS, and I would watch them back to back. My favorite, I remember going to the theaters and seeing Army of Darkness, and that was my favorite as a kid. I think that just hits the childhood, the heart right there. That film is so comedic. But I remember watching the first two Evil Deads
back to back. It just seems so weird that a child back, is watching that
and
continue.
Feeling like I was missing something. I didn't understand why Ash would survive all of this madness in the first film, and then in the second film, go back to the cabin with his girlfriend, acting like none of this ever happened. So yeah, I have to say that unless this is some kind of weird fever dream, this is definitely a remake.
Well, now, didn't they redo it again when they did the TV series? Didn't he go back to the cabin?
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a different question altogether. But this Mr. Cameron Jones is asking if we think Evil Dead 2 is more of a sequel or a remake.
I'm just saying they did it again.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
So.
Yeah. But the TV series actually is more in the continuity of the franchise Evil Dead rather than...
Bruce Campbell was in all of them, right?
Correct.
Okay. I wasn't sure if he was in the original.
Yeah, Bruce Campbell starred in these. I believe it was his first foray into filming. He's done so many films since, and he's written books, and he's been in TV series, some not even horror, and everything that I've watched him in has been fantastic, stuck with him since I was a kid.
He seems pretty great. A friend of mine was obsessed with him, and I didn't get it until you started watching the TV series.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, now I get it. He's pretty
cool. I remember Dustbrain, like, living by a book that he wrote back when we were in Pittsburgh. He was using some guidebook of Bruce Campbell. I don't remember what the book was, but it was sort of like How to Be a Man. And I will say this. Dustbrain was living in a closet at the time. And that's not a metaphor, a literal closet. And he was getting more play than any of us that were sharing this small apartment.
Should I stay away from that book? Would it change my perceptions of Bruce Campbell?
No, I think it's actually pretty okay to be read by either of the sexes.
Okay.
He's just a very manly man and just showing how to use your machismo to your own advantage.
So this isn't like Tucker Max, then. This is like... He's just a
he peppers in.
Man.
I mean, he knows his audience, and he's he's got to pepper in his comedic angle to everything that he does.
Fine.
So
yeah.
So thank you, Mr. Cameron Jones, for writing in. I'm excited to find out what this Mothman of Point Pleasant is. The fact that you are the executive producer on there, good for you. I'm looking
very
forward to checking out what
sounding,
the heck that is. I was meaning to check it out before this, but I got too wrapped up in the
question section.
Yeah, there were so many preparations to take. All right, so what we've got here as a bit of a post production redo. I'm just throwing this in there because I was pretty smashed during the original recording, and this is just kind of to clear some things up. Something as a general trivia note. Going on the Evil Dead 2, this is in reference to the question of whether Evil Dead 2 is a sequel or a remake to the original Evil Dead. General trivia quote says that basically often considered to be a remake of the Evil Dead 1981, Evil Dead 2 states that basically this is not accurate. The rights to show scenes from the original could not be obtained to recap what happened. So the beginning was remade to explain how Ash got to the cabin, etc. Now this, as a general trivia note, doesn't exactly cover everything that you want to know to basically determine whether the Evil Dead 2 is in fact a sequel or a remake. It's kind of, I think, ultimately up to you as the viewer. We've already got Dustbrain's take on it, and what I like about The Evil Dead 2 is we've got basically Ash going to the cabin with Linda, and he's not going with his other friends like he is in the original Evil Dead. What I think is really cool to look at this in a different light is that you can say that Ash is in a bit of a hellscape. He, in the original Evil Dead, never actually escaped the cabin, but rather he's kind of trapped in some kind of loop. And in this hellscape loop that he's in, the forces of hell or whatever is behind the Deadites, the book itself perhaps, is finding ways to warp Ash's mind and have him continuously playing through different types of torture that he is trying to consistently get one up on. I like to look at it that way. It does get more crazy as the franchise goes towards the latter half of Evil Dead 2 and moving into Army of Darkness, and then balls to the wall with the television series. I guess you could look at it the same way and just kind of think of it as Ash is in this hellscape for extended periods of time, he's kind of losing his mind, and so we're getting things like way more crazy than they originally were in the 81 original Evil Dead film. So that's how I like to look at it. Apparently, General Trivia states otherwise, and Mr. Dustbrain states otherwise as well, but there you've got mine, and, well, if you have your own, any of you listeners out there, I would be loving the chance to find out what you have to say on it. So, thank you for that. Next question comes in from Mr. Isaac Thorne. You can find him on Twitter at Isaac's Haunted B, the letter B as in boy. He's also a great horror YouTube channel. Well, he has a great horror YouTube channel.
He is the channel.
And his channel is called Isaac's Haunted Beard. He does a lot of reviews on there, and they're definitely worth checking out. He's hosted, co-hosted a lot of podcasts.
Does this mean he's better than us?
I actually would have to say that he is very eloquent.
Yes.
He is the one and only man that I know that can talk about Maximum Overdrive and make it seem like a film worth watching.
So he lies.
No, he's
is
just
that what
like
you're saying?
No, he's truthful in his approach, but he does it in a nostalgic kind of way you as nostalgia. The listener kind of form a heart for something that you don't normally have a heart for.
Okay.
So he's definitely a man to be appreciated. Because he's given those awful movies. I love some proper attention.
This is why he left.
Yes, so he says, how well does this parody Evil Dead? He wants to know how well the porn parodies the Evil Dead. Now, we're going to take a vote here. Between Dustbrain and I, because Cake Bitch, have you seen The Evil Dead?
I've only watched the Ash vs. Evil, and that's in little bits and pieces when I was in the same room.
And it's fantastic.
And not doing
things. And
yeah,
you should
I
see
mean,
it.
I think that Ash vs. Evil Dead was good.
Yeah.
What I saw was very good.
Dustbrain, how would you say how well this parodies? Now, in my opinion, I would say that it hits a lot of the key points, but not all of them. Because it's got to leave room for the 20 to 30 minute porn segments.
It's
solid in its set design in my opinion. I think the set design looks very solid in comparison to the original film for porn standards and also just normal standards in general. And I think that the cornerstone of the film, the heart of the film, is definitely met. Because they got the tree sex in there. You gotta have that, and they do. It's amazing. They have a lot of those key points, and we mentioned them before, like with the deer head laughing, the clock turning backwards. We've got the hand becoming possessed. It's fantastic with that.
What really comes through is like these people that made this film, Burning Angel, Joanna Angel, and her crew.
Mm-hmm.
They really love horror. I mean, they're alternative people. They like this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But this is a movie they can wrap their head around. They love it, you know?
Yeah.
And it is more of an homage, a porn homage to it than an actual, like, parody, kind of. Because when you say parody, it's more like you're making fun of the original.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But this isn't really making fun of it. It's just a porn version, and the jokes and stuff are just, I don't know, not at Evil Dead's expense, you know? So, I think they did a good job, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think they did definitely do a good job. Now,
All right, so another post-production fix, since, as I said, I was so trashed, I didn't even know what was going on at the end there. Basically, what is going on here in the evil head is it's a bit of a conglomeration of like a mishmash of Evil Dead 1 and Evil Dead 2. It's not servicing one or the other film, but rather mixing parts from each. And mainly it's covering the first Evil Dead movie. What they're getting from Evil Dead 2, obviously, is the hand-cutting-off scene, which is not in the original Evil Dead, but most of the setup is from the original Evil Dead. We've got our cast of four characters, missing the fifth being Ash's sister. The four characters that we got here in the Evil Head are straight from the Evil Dead from 1981, the original. And something to take note of, the verse that's said in the Evil Head, Klaatu Varata Nictu, this is coming from originally the 1951 Day the Earth Stood Still. This is something that was reused for films later in the franchise. So this is also taking some notes from the Army of Darkness, because this is a phrase that's used in the Army of Darkness as well as in Ash vs. The Evil Dead. But in the original Evil Dead, what we have is a Sumerian like chant that doesn't say Klaatu Varata Nictu in it. Instead, it's sort of something like Saman Daraboza, Haika Darandarosa, Kanda, Kanda, Kanda. So they're kind of taking notes from the franchise as a whole, I suppose you could say, rather than just sticking to the Evil Dead and hitting notch for notch. But we are getting more scenes that parody the Evil Dead, the original, than anything else. So that's to answer your question a little bit more efficiently. all right. I guess we've answered our questions there. Mr. Isaac Thorne, thank you for writing in, as well as Mr. Darian Brock, and our other new write-in friend, which was Cameron Jones. Sorry, I had to find your name there.
A lot of whiskey.
Yes, too much whiskey. I'm losing my own place in my own head. So any final things to mention before we close this out?
No, I think we're about
to. Yeah, I think
here.
We're good. I think we should just end this show now.
All right. Well, we would like to thank our...
God. You're going to read a whole sheet.
We would like to thank our Master of Arms, Mr. Monty Hewitt. Our friendly neighborhood ice cream truck drivers who ensure that only the bold get the creamy cold. Our hearts go out to our executive producer of produce, Mr. Gang Green. And a special thanks to our resident team of proctologists who are always there in a pinch of a loaf, a plop of a prolapse, or a bad Milo. Lastly, we would like to thank our affiliation and partnership with Le Marchand's Toys, making puzzles a hell of a good time since 1942. Thanks a lot for listening to our show, and we will catch you next time, where we will be covering the movie...
It's his movie.
The Temple. And then it's going to be his movie.
Oh, right, that's right, because I won first.
So we got the temple coming at you next, and then Baskin closing it out.
Get out! Last chance, told you. Get out! Get out!
Excuse me now! What is with you guys? How about shutting up for a change, okay? I already fed you.
Beware the moonlets.
Yeah. What the hell was that all about?